This morning's scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 through 12. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which we all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your droopy hands and strengthen your weak knees. Father God, we come before you today and you have our attention with these verses. Lord, we trust you with our heart as you teach us to endure correction, your correction. And we just ask you, Lord, to help us to embrace your word today so we can look more like you. In Jesus' name.
Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all this morning as we dive into the ongoing series on drawing near. Last week, Pastor Tommy covered Hebrews 12, 1 through 6, where the author of Hebrews addresses Jewish Christians, emphasizing the depth and the value of their relationship in Jesus Christ. A comparison is drawn between Old Covenant with its barriers like the curtain separating from God, separating people from God, and Jesus Christ's fulfillment of it, granting access through his blood. Chapter 12 continues the theme of getting closer to God through Jesus, following the faith chapter. So, as we read, Hebrews 12, 7 through 12. But you know, I have to say, the topic of discipline often invokes mixed emotions for us, doesn't it? Some of us may see or hear the word discipline and we just kind of cringe. We don't necessarily like to hear that sometimes. But God's discipline, as it says, while it rarely feels pleasant in the moment, the Bible assures us that it holds immense value in our spiritual growth. And that's important. The growth part. Let's dive into understanding its purpose, accepting its impact, and ultimately embracing God's loving intentions for us to grow through discipline. So what I really want to start off and emphasize is that it's not necessarily punishment. It's fatherly love. Let's begin by acknowledging that discipline, unlike punishment, is not meant to simply inflict pain. Punishment is reserved for those who reject God's love. I'll read that again. Punishment is reserved for those who reject God's love, while discipline, as Hebrews 12, 5 through 8 says, emphasizes on it's a sign of God's fatherly love and our sonship. Just as loving parent disciplines their child for their good, God, our Heavenly Father, disciplines us to refine us and help us grow. Hebrews 12, 7 through 8. But we need to be careful. Why? Because in the process of we being disciplined, we can fall into the trap of the accuser, the one that says to us, God's punishing you. He must be mad at you. He hates you. Or you might even think yourself, what am I doing wrong? Why, God, are you mad at me? And it's not about that at all. Verse 5 says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves." He loves you, and he will discipline us, and chastises every son whom he receives. Verse 7, it is the discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. Let's stop right there. Notice the difference. If you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you are his son, you are his daughter, you will receive discipline. And it's not something that he's enjoying to do. It's not like he's just up there in heaven throwing lightning bolts at you just because he wants to see you jump around in pain. Not at all. Discipline is different. We'll dig into this. If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So if you don't have any discipline, if you have a God that does not discipline you, it's because you're illegitimate. You're not his son. You're not his daughter. And I want you to see it this way from now on. You are his son and daughter. This is proof if you're being disciplined. So let's shift from the law to love. Let's compare how the Old Testament and the New Testament portrays a shift in the emphasis of discipline. Discipline, again, is not punishment. The actual Greek word for discipline is paideia, P-A-I-D-E-I-A, which means training, means correction, and development. It's not about punishment, but about God equipping us for a purpose. I mean, if you think about it, not that I'm calling God a coach or anything, but some of us actually pay a training coach at the gym to do those three things, to train us, to correct us, to develop us, to equip us. And they push us, and they make us do that last rep, and they make us get that burn sensation because they want us to develop and grow. And that's not even a perfect example compared to what God wants to do in us. But he wants to train us. He does want to correct us and develop us and equip us for a purpose. You have a purpose. And discipline is part of that. But it's crucial to recognize the subtle differences presented in both Old and New Testament when it comes to discipline. While the core principle of discipline fostering growth remains constant, through Scripture, there are distinct differences in how it's portrayed. In the Old Testament, we see an emphasis on law and consequences. God's discipline is often depicted as a direct response to disobedience, especially disobedience in his laws and commandments, resulting in punishment, exile, or even destruction. So the Old Testament had that discipline that it says, if you do this, then this will happen. And if you do this, that will happen. For example, Leviticus 26, 1 through 5 says, "Don't make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves, and do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord your God. Observe the Sabbath and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruit. For the threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land." Very beautiful. However, we go down to verse 14 of Leviticus 26. It says, "But if you will not listen to me and carry all these commandments, and if you reject my decrees and abhor my laws and fail to carry out my commandments and so violate my covenant, then I will do this to you. I will bring on sudden terror, wasting diseases, and fever that will destroy your sight and sap your strength. You will plant seed in vain because your enemies will eat it. I will set my face against you so that you will be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you, and you will flee even when no one is pursuing you. Sounds pretty scary, doesn't it? But again, we see the if this, then that in the positive sense and the negative sense. But remember this, nonetheless, his commands are because he loved us. He loves us. Even in the Old Testament, we might see him as this terrible God, but all those things that he was calling us to do, it's because of the best for us. And it's because of the relationship he wanted us to have. However, in the New Testament, we witness a shift towards love and restoration. Through the teachings of Jesus, God's love and desire for restoration over punishment are highlighted all over the New Testament. While consequences for sin still exist, and let's not forget that, we're not talking about just a soft Jesus that just isn't going to give us consequences. We come into these situations where we disobey and there will be consequences. But the emphasis shifts towards God's desire to draw individuals closer to him through forgiveness and transformation. Listen to that again. Forgiveness and transformation. That's what he wants for us. So how does this impact our understanding of discipline today? It reminds us that challenges and difficulties are not merely for punishment measures only, but opportunities for growth and transformation. Isn't that beautiful? His discipline isn't just to make us feel terrible. It's for growth and transformation. The point is that God's discipline stems from his love for us. I want you to remember that. Aiming for a spiritual growth and conformity to the image of Christ. This is so important. You know, I remember we had four kids. They're all adults now. And I had a son that always pushed the envelope, always wanted to test our nerves, and just kind of disobey, did a lot of things that just kind of really got us on the edge sometimes. And we had to do discipline. He didn't like it, but we did. And we got pretty fortunate that he was one of the kids at the very, as an adult, that actually came to us and said, "Dad, Mom, I just want to let you know, now that I'm a man, I'm so thankful that you were so strict with me and that you prevented me from doing these things that I wanted and pushed you to do so bad. I think I would have been a dad probably four or five times," he said, "and maybe even in jail, or maybe even dead. So thank you that even though I didn't like what you were telling me to do, and you would discipline me, that you did discipline me." And that's one of those things that sometimes you may hear as a parent, sometimes you won't, but it was exactly what the scripture is telling us. You're not going to like it. You may think I'm restricting you. You may think that I'm doing this just to make you feel bad, but I am actually training you and equipping you to be more like Christ. So that's why it's so important that we look at discipline that way. In our response to God's discipline, we must approach it with humility and gratitude, recognizing his redemptive work in our lives. Do we have humility when he disciplines us? Do we fight it? Do we roll our eyes and say, "This is happening again"? Sometimes it's like we're walking and bumping our heads against a wall, get frustrated, and we bump against the wall, and we're not learning anything from it. So while discipline may be difficult to endure, we can trust that it has a purpose to shape us into the people God intends us to be. So again, let us not view discipline as a harsh punishment, but as a loving correction from our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 12:6 reminds us, "The Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his child." We are to endure hardship and discipline. God is treating you as his children. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces harvests of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Let's stop there for a second. Have you been trained by it? Because sometimes we go through discipline and we don't see it. We're not learning from it. We're not being trained by it. We're not realizing, this is what I need to get to God. This is something that I've been keeping to myself. Maybe it's that pet sin you have that you're saying to yourself, I got everything okay, but I want to keep this. And then we wonder why we're falling and being short-sighted and far-sighted when it comes to our walk with the Lord. And God is saying, I'm trying to train you to give this to me. Let it go. Submit that to me. So have we been trained by the discipline? Or are we repeating it unnecessarily over and over? He is patient, isn't he? He does want us to learn. May we embrace God's discipline with open hearts, knowing that through it, he is working all things together for the good of his glory. His glory, not ours. May the Holy Spirit convict and empower us to respond to God's discipline with humility, with gratitude, and willingness to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. So I want to challenge you today to think of discipline differently. Think of it as a loving father that is there training you, equipping you, and that does show you things that you shouldn't be doing, and that will bring some pain and some pruning, but you will grow, and that's his concern. You know, some of you may know, I love hot peppers. The hotter, the better. And I had this garden with all these great peppers, you name it, Scotch bonnet, habanero, whatever. They were just really exotic hot peppers. But sometimes the plants would just give me this healthy plant full of leaves, no peppers. And they were just standing there boasting. That's the way I saw it, boasting like, look at all these leaves. And I was like, no, you're not giving me fruit. I want some hot peppers. And one of the things I did, whether it was accurate or not, I think it worked. I took those pepper plants and I starved them. I didn't feed them for almost like a week or two. And they looked so droopy. They looked so dry. They looked like they were just going to fall to the side. And then I would also prune them and just get rid of all those leaves, make sure that the nutrients goes where it should go. And then almost at the point that they were dying, I would finally feed them. And they would just sprout up. And not only would they sprout up, but then they would start giving me little flowers for peppers. And that plant suffered. For me, that was almost like the plant was being disciplined. It was being put into a hard situation. It was being trained to do better. And in a matter of weeks, I had all these great peppers. And it's like, God had so many lessons for us, even in nature. So we do go through hardships. But scriptures such as John 3:16, or maybe even Romans 5:8, are perfect examples of this shift. For example, Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There's his love. Unconditional love, that while we were still sinners. And he's emphasizing God's love in the scripture as the driving force behind his redemptive plan. In the New Testament, discipline becomes less about punishment and more about refinement, a process which through believers are molded into the likeness of Christ. Interesting word, molded. You think about a person with a piece of clay, and he's creating maybe a bowl or some kind of vase, and he has to break that clay. He has to punch it and shape it into the position that he desires it to be. And even though it's just clay, that for us feels really tough when we're being molded and shaped by by the loving hands of God. But that process will bring us to be like Christ. That process will bring us to a point where God, our Creator, is calling us to be. In this area of my life, exemplifying Christ. Now ask yourself that question. Is this area of my life exemplifying Christ? Is there an area in your life that you feel like I'm still struggling? I feel like I'm going through some kind of discipline. And then if you ask yourself, am I exemplifying Christ? Am I being an example in this area of my life? Because chances are that's an area you're being disciplined if you're not giving Christ the glory in that area. And chances are that you need to give that to him. And that's how we respond to discipline. We can respond in various ways. We can be resentful about it. We can resent God and despise God's discipline. This is the negative reaction, leading to bitterness and hatred against God. Proverbs 3:11 and Hebrews 12:5 says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him." Are you being weary by it? Are you rolling your eyes? Are you actually saying to yourself, "Oh, great, there you go again, trying to teach me a lesson. I don't feel like it today." Or it says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Again, how do we respond? Excuse me. We can respond by grudging acceptance. The passive stance involves enduring hardships without understanding God's purpose. So in other words, we're going through this discipline, we're going through the struggle, but it's not even phasing us or to the point of saying, "Why is this happening to me, Lord?" We just go through it. Sometimes we say things like, "It's just my luck that I go through this. It's just the way I was born. It's generational." And we never get to that point of, "God, guide me here. Holy Spirit, show me. Why is this happening to me?" And guess what? He's not the type of God that wants to withhold this from you. So the other one is questioning the why. This involves asking why, but failing to seek the positive lessons within the challenges. The why me part. Or, again, "God, you're just mad at me. Why are you doing this?" Let's come before the Holy Spirit and show him and ask him, "Lord, show me why. Why is this happening?" And then there's finally willful acceptance. This positive response embraces God's discipline, recognizing its purpose and potential for growth. It allows God to be a gardener, pruning us to bear more fruit. So that's where you actually accept it. You say, "Lord, I know something's happening here. I've been just kind of hitting my head against the wall, not getting anywhere. I'm willing to accept this discipline. I'm willing for you to show me, what am I doing here? Am I grieving you? Am I grieving the Holy Spirit? Is there something in my life that I need to know?" James 1:2-4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." 2 Corinthians 12:10 also, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, and persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Do you see the difference there? You're humbling yourself. You're actually coming with humility towards the Lord. You're saying, "Lord, I need to know what's going on here. If you are trying to perfect me, if you're trying to equip me and train me to be more like Christ, show me what I need to put into the fire. Show me what I need to submit to you." One of the other things that we may struggle when it comes to resisting discipline, God's discipline, can manifest internally too. denial. We may be in denial about it, refusing to acknowledge that that challenge is God's discipline, and instead blaming external factors of our circumstances. We may be angry. We may be full of despair. We may have fear. And because of that, we don't want to deal with that discipline. And one of the big ones, we may have pride. We reject the notion that one needs correction or improvement. I'm a good Christian. I everything's perfect. We're viewing the challenges as a personal attack instead of something out of love. You know, I have almost a 2-year-old grandson that we take care of, and I just love him so much, and he is just going through this discovery. So I had a water bottle, and he just wanted some water. So I thought, okay, if I give him the bottle, he's just going to make a mess. So I gave him a little, put some in his mouth. Oh, he wasn't happy with that. He wanted the bottle, okay? And no, I just tried to give him a little. No, he just have a fit. He usually just throws himself on the floor, right? And then I said, okay, well, this might be a good lesson for him. It's not dangerous. I gave him the bottle. What happens? So he takes that bottle and just goes, wah, all over his face and all over his pajamas. And it's cold, so he's doing this. And I look at him, and I know he's only 2. I don't know how much he would learn from it, but I'll tell you this much. He didn't do it. He didn't want the bottle the last time. He wanted me to feed him the water. And it was almost like that was a very simple sense of discipline, of training him. You're not capable of handling this. Let me do this for you. And even though you think you can hold that bottle, you still don't know the whole pouring mechanics. And there was no way I could have taught him that except through something like that. And he learned it, right? And sometimes that's the same with us. God is saying, I want to teach you. I want to train you. I'm here with you. And we want to say, but I want to do it this way. I want to do it that way. And sometimes God does say, very well. And we learn the hard way through discipline. Sometimes we procrastinate when it comes to discipline, delaying and neglecting to address the lessons of growth opportunities presented by the challenge. We're seeking alternative solutions instead of what God wants us to do. That might be substance use, alcohol, drugs, you name it. I'll take care of it this way. It feels better this way instead of what you're telling me what to do, God. And we turn away from God. We isolate ourselves from God, from prayer, from worship, and even Christian community. And you know how that feels. We distance ourselves. You ever notice that? We come to church less. We may read the scripture less. And we need to be careful because, again, the enemy wants you to do that. Or we actually end up just living in sin, continue to engage in the behaviors that go against God's teachings, further distancing oneself from sin. And finally, we blame others. It's not my fault. We shift our responsibility to challenge unto others, for that challenge unto others, avoiding personal accountability and growth. So remember, discipline and trials aren't meant to break us, but to shape us. To shape us into the people he desires us to be. Just as a skilled refiner removes impurities from gold through fire, God's discipline removes the dross within us, leaving behind a heart pure and radiant with his love. Folks, let go of the resistance and embrace these challenges and these opportunities for us to grow. Submit to God's loving correction, knowing he works all things together for the good of his glory. Through this process, we become more Christ-like, reflecting his light in the world. He's not against you. He is for you. He wants to walk with you when it comes to discipline. So when trials come knocking, remember that they're not punishments, but stepping stones to greater faith and closeness to God. face these challenges with unwavering trust, knowing that he has the best interest for you, knowing that his love and grace will see you through. May he grant you the strength and perseverance you need, and may your faith continue to flourish even amidst the storms. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today humbled by the trials we face. We acknowledge that these challenges, though difficult, are not meant to destroy us, but to shape us and refine us like gold. Lord, purify us in the fire. Grant us open hearts and clear minds to recognize these trials, not as burdens, but as opportunities for deeper faith and closer connection with you. Lord, guide us toward embracing these difficulties with unwavering trust and courage. We surrender to your loving discipline, trusting that you will work all things together for the good and your glory. Help us learn from these experiences and grow together and grow closer to you through them. In Jesus' name, amen.